airliner-sized traffic patterns. Why do pilots of small piston planes fly so far from the runway? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. We're going to talk about an issue today that is a big deal during the summertime, and it may be one of the most dangerous circumstances in which a lot of casual private pilots find themselves, especially if they don't fly often, and that is the traffic pattern of your local pancake breakfast. Bob, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Well, hello, Paul. It's good to be with you.
You've taken to task people who fly oversized patterns before. It's not just oversized patterns. It's how you enter them, how you exit them. Tell us what prompted you to pick this time to release this article in Over the Airwaves.
Well, I've written a lot about oversized patterns and incorrect pattern entries. What prompted this article was the fact that at a recent fly-in breakfast I went to, there was something called the no-pattern entry. That's what I would call it. And that's just basically splashing down over the airport and finding a spot in the conga line and joining up for landing. Absolutely no attention to a pattern entry whatsoever. And not only one, but when it happens with two or three arrivals at the same time, people joining in, and out of intellectual curiosity, this caught me by surprise. I just made very, very careful note as to who these airplanes were, and I kind of tracked them all the way to the ground, got out of my airplane, parked it, and kept my eye on them, and didn't say anything to the individuals. It's not my place. I'm not the air police nor the FAA. But I wanted to get an idea just what these folks look like. And what they look like just really kind of fit the behavior that I saw. They were just individuals who seemed to be oblivious to their surroundings. A couple were older people, older than me, and there were a couple of just brand new, looked like to be brand new students or brand new young pilots. But they didn't seem to be, you know, the disciplined pilot that we like to think ourselves as being. And it just takes a couple to upset, not only upset the flow of the traffic, but really could upset the whole pancake breakfast, if you will, by causing an accident. And this is something that we really have to attend to and at the flight school level, being sure that individuals have a basic working knowledge of what a traffic pattern looks like and how to use it.
Well, let's start by talking about, first of all, I have been that guy, not making the sloppy pattern necessarily, but I remember the very first flight I made after I got my private pilot's certificate was with my son to a pancake breakfast. And I remember, approaching the airspace and going, oh my goodness. And I was going to try to do it right and everything else, but it almost didn't matter because, one of the things we expect of a traffic pattern is to be in a position where others know where we are and we can expect to see others who might be in our way. And that assumption goes right out the window at one of these deals.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And I don't know whether it's the fact is this is the first flying event or the first flying an individual has done in this particular year. Maybe it was that fly-in breakfast that attracted them to pull the airplane out of the hangar for the first time in months. And so they're just basically rusty. Part of the problem also has to do with the fact that there's not really a whole lot of guidance, in published guidance, I should say, on how to fly a traffic pattern. You know, certainly the airplane flying handbook touches on it, the aeronautical information manual touches on it, but there's not a lot of hard doctrine that flight instructors can use. You know, it says that we have to, you know, pursue a left-hand pattern if that's the pattern in practice and things like that, but it really doesn't drive home the importance of using a pattern properly and even the size of the pattern. I had some reader response to the article I wrote in Over the Airwaves on this subject, and I was advocating a half mile wide pattern, turning on base a half mile from the runway. And you know, I had individuals saying, "Oh, Bob, that's terribly close. It's too tight a turn. You're going to cause problems." And I said, yeah, in a Learjet or a Citation, absolutely you're going to cause problems. Even a large, a twin or a light twin might cause a problem in that close. But the typical fly-in breakfast, they're not Learjets and Citation Jets and Twins. Usually they're the bug mashers, the Cessna 152s, 172s, Pipers. You know, they can operate very nicely 1/2 mile from the runway all the way around, and everybody can see them. They can make nice standard rate turns at every turn along the juncture without, you know, putting the airplane in steep bank turns. It's just a much safer way to, in my opinion, to operate. And the guidance that we do see in the Airman's Information, Aeronautical Information Manual, I says, does talk about a 1/2 mile, you know, 3/4, 1/2 mile. That's a nice distance.
All right, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about my impression of why traffic patterns exist and see if that makes a good starting point. Bob Miller is my guest, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talking about traffic patterns and how they're not always adhered to and not always well defined. And Bob, when I got involved with very low and slow aircraft, a lot of airports have a published or understood, locally understood ultralight pattern, which is used by a lot of aircraft which are, you know, slow and would be in people's way if it weren't for the fact that they flew a little different pattern. And the guidance in a lot of those cases is that if the normal traffic pattern is 1,000 feet above ground, the ultralights and gyroplanes and those sort of things, they want flying at 500 feet above ground and much closer to the runway. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me that part of the whole purpose of traffic patterns appears to be that in the transition from cross-country flight to getting ready to land, or the other way around, taking off and transitioning to cross-country flight, you want to keep the aircraft somewhere where you could glide to the runway if you needed to. And if you're flying at, you know, if you're in a traffic pattern and you come in at 1,000 AGL, and when you make your downwind to base turn, you're 2 miles from the runway at 700 feet, that's going to be a problem if the noise stops.
Well, that's right. And, you know, there are folks that will debate the wisdom of that argument that we should be in gliding distance from the airport. Like you, I believe that's a very useful guideline. It just gives us a sense of how close we should be. There are those who, and I don't know the data behind this, but suggest that, you know, an aircraft in cruise setting is, the engine running in cruise setting is doing just fine. If it's going to fail, sometimes will fail more frequently when there's a significant power reduction, as if coming in for a landing. And if we make that power reduction, you know, 2 miles from the airport, and we do lose the engine at that point, yeah, we may not make it. And I for one, would be mighty embarrassed if I had to do a dead stick landing out of a traffic pattern and miss the runway altogether, particularly if I would put it into trees or houses or something like that. Unfortunately, it's how we're trained, and you know we have people that were trained in large Class C tower controlled airports, and the tower's controlling the size of the pattern very often at a Class C airport, and very often that pattern is being gauged upon, you know, what the last 737 used when he was on downwind, and therefore we have a whole host of students and instructors just simply accustomed to airliner-type patterns because that's where they train. And then they come out to the non-towered field, and they use that same airliner-size pattern, which makes it difficult at best to see the other guy, much less function properly in the pattern. And so they're not comfortable doing that. It's just a training thing, as is everything else in aviation. If we were trained to fly a close-in tight pattern, that's the way we'll fly them. If we were trained at the tower-controlled airport where the airliners fly, that's the way we're going to train them. That's the way we're going to fly them. The problem is when we mix those two types of traffic, that's when we get into problems.
I've had towered airports where they asked me to hang out on downwind until they told me to turn base, and 5 minutes later, after they forgot about me, I was starting to wonder if I'd be in radio range. So yeah,
you're in the next state.
Everything goes out the window if the tower's telling you where to turn.
Right. Just, you know, what I try to teach our students here is just use good common sense. There's the pattern is where you position yourself to get to the runway. I mean, just look at the common interstate. You know the cloverleaf on and off ramps around an interstate highway. They're not 3 miles wide, even though the cars are traveling pretty close to the same speed we're traveling when we're flying. I mean, they're doing 65 as they enter the, or 70 in some places as they enter the off ramp. We're doing pretty darn close to the same thing in an airplane, and shoot, we can make a cloverleaf turn certainly within a half a mile of the main 4-lane highway. Use that as a guideline. It works just fine. It takes up far less real estate, airspace, if you will, and keeps everybody nice and close where we can see them. And that's the thing that we have to remember. It's in the pattern where collisions typically occur. And collisions occur because we don't see the other guy. And if the other guy is flying a 2-mile wide pattern and he joins on the base and you're in on a 1/2-mile wide pattern and you're joining in the base, I mean, let's figure this out. If we're on left traffic, you're going to get rammed from the right side of your airplane if you're in close and the other guy's coming from, 2 miles of beam the runway. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I just think it's something that we all need to attend to.
Well, you mentioned in your article in the July issue of Over the Airwaves, Advisory Circular AC-90-66A. That's not a new document. It's been around for a while, and it's got the classic description of traffic patterns, and it also has some exceptions for aircraft with unusual flight profiles. And it's available online. You don't even have to buy it. Go down to the FBO and pick one up. You can just read it offline, and it might be a great thing before you head out for that pancake breakfast this summer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is something, as I said, we all need to attend to. And if we need to go out and get some instruction at the local non-towered airport, find a local flight instructor, just sit them down in the office there and say, hey, draw me a pattern and tell me what you expect at this airport. And if hopefully you get the right instructor who will tell you, and again, I don't mean real tight aircraft carrier type close-in patterns, air show maneuvers. A 1/2 mile is 2,500 feet. I mean, that's plenty of distance to have adequate spacing from the runway and still make the turn and land. Not everybody will agree. I will give you that. It's just something that to me makes a whole lot of sense.
All right, and one final reminder: don't let the Kiwanis Club put you over max gross takeoff weight on the way home.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Bob. Well, listen, we appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thank you.
You can find Bob Miller's free monthly electronic newsletter online at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.